preacher down in North Carolina always said, God is good, and He's good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And we thank the Lord that we serve a Lord and a Father. Not just a God, not just a Savior, but He's a friend to us as well. In the book of John, in the first chapter, is where we'll be reading from tonight. And I didn't call everybody out that was away this past weekend. Y'all was away, had a good, safe journey. We thank the Lord for that. And Robin Sharon was gone the weekend before and made it back from New York. We thank the Lord for giving them safe travel mercies. For every one of you that's been, and not just those that went away, but for those that's been here commuting. Every day the Lord watches over us in all this traffic and all this problems around this area. And we thank Him for it today. Book of John, the first chapter, is where we'll be reading from. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, reading one verse tonight. In the 29th verse, and the Lord said it like this in this passage of Scripture. He said that the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I'm just going to read that one verse tonight. You can be seated in the house of God. And you notice he said the sin of the world. He didn't say sins. He said the sin of the world. And I'd like to preach for a few minutes tonight about a text simply entitled, Why Jesus Came. Why Jesus Came. We read in this verse, and I'm not going to preach about where John was there baptizing. That's not my text, my thought tonight. But as I was thinking about this and thinking about all the things that's going on in the world, and I can't comprehend everything that's going on in the world. I can't even comprehend what's going on in our country and what's going on even in the state of Ohio or Kentucky or even in this county. Sometimes I can't even comprehend what's going on in my own household. And I'm just bearing my heart to you tonight. But there is nothing that goes on that God does not know about. And if we allow it to, it will get all over our last nerve. And it'll drive you to the point to where all you do is worry about everything that's going on. But the Bible didn't tell us that when we got saved that everything was going to be perfect from that day forward. His Word does not say that to us. But what He does say is that no matter where you walk, no matter how deep it is or how high it goes, He said, I'll walk every step with you, even to the end of the world. And that's a great consolation to us tonight. But John said, I want you to meet the man who's come to take away the sin of the world. And I'm sure, Ron, in years past, I've probably put an S on the end of that in some of my preaching. But he didn't say sins, he said sin. Because there's only one true sin that has taken our people to hell and destruction, and that's unbelief upon the name of Jesus Christ. Many folks will argue about what kind of sin it is that's taken their people down to hell and destruction. It's not alcohol. It's not drugs. It's not the lottery. And you just bear with me on this Wednesday night. It's not the homosexuality. It's not the things that you and I categorize as gross or deep sins. You know what it is? It's because they have not believed upon the name of Jesus Christ and ask Him to save them is why they are lost and going to hell. Now, to back up my point before some of you get nervous about the pastor preaching like this, I believe that if people believe upon the Lord and they get saved, He'll take the drinking away. He'll take the dope away. He'll turn the homosexual into a different lifestyle. And He'll fix your house and what's wrong with it. The reason why Jesus come and all of the Word, He teaches us that He come to take away the sin of the world. He did not come to heal the multitudes. Can I preach it like that? Throughout the Word of God, we find that Jesus did many miracles in the Bible, in the book of John, in the last chapter. It says if all the miracles that Jesus did while he was here, that I reckon that the whole world could not contain the volume of books that would have to be written to contain all the miracles that he did. But that's not why he came. You remember when he stood outside of Lazarus' tomb, he did not go there and say, this is why I came in the world, was to resurrect a dead man. But he said, Father, I thank thee that you have heard me. Amen. Isn't that something that he could pray? He hadn't even began his prayer, but he already thanked his Father that he heard him. And then he said it like this. He said, don't do this. And this is Roger paraphrasing. I'm not asking you to do this for me, but not even Lazarus. But I'm asking you to hear my prayer and answer it, that those that are around me might see and believe upon your name. And if they believe upon his name, their sin will be taken away. He did not come just to feed the multitudes that were hungry. There was hungry people in the world before Jesus came, and there's hungry people in this world after Jesus came. In fact, he said that he told them there in his word, he said, these people that you have with you, that you have them now while I'm here, and when I go away, you're still going to have this kind of people. Talking about all the different diseases and sicknesses and problems that there was. But Jesus did not come just to feed the hungry so that they would be filled, because that's just a temporary filling. He did not come for that, nor did he come just to cast out the demons. Even though there was many that was possessed with demons. And people say, do you believe that God through his Son can cast out demons? I believe that he not only did cast out demons, but he still is casting out demons. And sometimes you and I, if we're not careful, we'll allow the demons to overtake us. They'll come in, and people say, does that really happen every time that we get to a point to where we can't even stand ourselves? Anybody been to that point lately? It's not because of you, but it's because of the devil that tries to come in and overtake you. But Jesus, even there at the tombs, went to a man that couldn't even be bound with chains and fetters and spoke to him. And the next time they come by, they found him clothed, sitting in his right mind at the feet of Jesus Christ. But he did not come just to touch Legion or other folks like Legion that needed the devil cast out of them. But he come that he might take away the sin of the world. The sin of the world is why he came and why he is still allowing the world to go on. For people that are lost, folks again, and I don't know if we have lost in our midst, that's between them and God. But to those of us that are saved, we ought to be able to rejoice on a Wednesday night that Jesus come, that our sin might be taken away from us, and that we would no longer be held liable for the things, the transgressions that we had done against God's Word. Jesus come because no man was able to keep the law in his fullness. Every one of them had to give a sacrifices. We preached some on Sunday and even the previous Sunday night. About the sacrifices that had to be offered year after year after year. But praise God, when Jesus came, he said, I'm not going to just die year after year, but I'm going to go one time into the holies of holy, present my blood in the presence of the tabernacle. And he says, when the Father saw what Jesus did, that God was pleased with it. Because he did it right. He did it completely. And Jesus come to take care of the sin that you and I had that mom and dad could not pay for. He come to take care of the sins that you and I had that we couldn't live good enough to take care of them. Nor could we work hard enough to take care of them. I'm glad that Jesus came to take away my sins that I had in my, the sin that I had in my life. And the greatest sin of all is this, is that we did not believe upon his name, because he said, if you believe upon his name and make confession, if you believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved from your sins. Tara testified about that Sunday when she got saved. And I think every one of us can go back and testify similarly to what she did, is that I once was lost, but then the word was preached, and I saw that I was in my sin and dying and going to a devil's hell. But does anybody remember when the gospel was preached and then you believed upon it? The moment that you believed, you remember that the burden was lifted and you no longer had to worry about death and hell, because Jesus come that your sin might be taken care of. And let me give you a confirmation tonight. Not only did he come to take care of it, but there are witnesses in his word and witnesses in the Holy Spirit and even witnesses here tonight. How many of you know that he paid the debt that you and I owed, and we are now saved by his marvelous grace? And I want to put this in. He did not come to do all those things that I aforementioned. He did not come just to heal people. He did not come just to cast out demons. He did not come just to feed folks. He did not come just to make sure that people had their finances took care of. And people say, do you really believe that God can help you take care of your finances? You just go back and read about when the apostles was there and it was tax time and they didn't have money to take care of their taxes. And Christ told them, you go down there and you cast out. And he said, when you cast out on that side, he said, you take up the fish and you open up its mouth and you'll find exactly what it is that you have need of. Has anybody else ever been down to your last dollar and went in the closet maybe and got out a pair of breeches yet worn in a while, and you reached in a pocket and there was some money you didn't even know you had? People say, well, that was just by coincidence. I believe that God can take care of all things, not only just the saving of our soul, but he can take care of everything else that we have need of as well. And I want to put this in, I'm not going to preach long tonight. Everything that God does for us above taking care of our sin is an added blessing. Oh, somebody ought to be able to feel what I feel tonight. Everything he does above salvation is just a blessing on top of a blessing on top of a blessing. And I got wondering about that, so I want to read this verse to you from the book of Luke in the 6th chapter. The Bible says in this 38th verse, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressing down and shaking together and running over. Ever since I gave my burdens and my life to Jesus Christ, you know what I have found? It's been given a good measure, Billy, back to me. And not just a good measure, but does anybody know when you're trying to get more into that garbage bag, how did you put your hand in there and you push down on it? That's what he meant. It's pressed down and then you lift it up and you shake it a little bit so that you can get a little bit more in. Sometimes God will press us down. He'll shake us up because he's got another blessing in store for us. Hallelujah. I'm glad he not just come to take care of the sin of the world, but he gave us all these other benefits on top of them, in addition to knowing that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that make you rejoice tonight. All these other folks that preach and teach that Jesus come that you might have a wonderful life, that Jesus come that you might have the newest car and live in the best neighborhoods, that is straight from hell and destruction. He did not promise us those things. But what he did promise us, if we would believe upon his name, Wayne, ask for forgiveness of our sins, he said, all things whatsoever it is that you ask of me, I will take it to the Father, and you will receive that which you have need of today. And I ask us again tonight, has not God always taken care of us? When we see that it's bigger than we are, when we see that there's nothing that I can do about it, there's things that I face and you face every day, that there's not a thing that I can do about it. I worry about it, and sometimes I wake up and can't even sleep at night over it. But then when I get to the point that I say, well, Lord, you know it's bigger than I am and I just can't take it anymore. You know what I find? That God is able to whisper sweet peace to my soul and my life. That some folks, and I got to preach for a little bit tonight. Some folks look at our life and they wonder, how in the world do you make it? How in the world are you able to take another step? How are you able to go in spite of everything that's going on? And I'm here to declare to you tonight, not not only did Jesus take away the sin that I had, but he gave me everything else, whatsoever it is that I have need of. He said he would provide it, and I'm here to declare tonight he's been good to his word ever since I bowed that up on my knees and salvation come in. He's been better to me than I deserve to be. And folks, I don't know why he loves me so much, but Ron Ball, I'm sure glad that he does. And everything he does beyond salvation is just another reason for us to lift up holy hands and say, Lord, I thank you yet another time that you watched over me. And I thank you that you watched over the children and the grandchildren. I thank you, Lord, that you saved me, and not just saved me, but every once in a while, Tara will sing that song, oh Lord, you've been so good to me. You saved my mama, you saved my daddy, you saved my sister and my brother, but most of all, Lord, you saved me tonight. People say, well, you're awful selfish. It's good mom and dad is saved. But folks, it's better that I can stand up today and say, I'm saved by the grace of God. My sin has been forgiven. And I hope you see tonight that it's not sins that's going to take our people to hell, but it's sin that's going to take them to hell and destruction. The reason why Jesus come is so that we would be able to have peace in our heart, peace in our life. Have joy, even in the midst of all the trouble that there is. And be able to know that if we never see the dawning of another day, everything's going to be all right. How many of you know that tonight? That the sin has been taken away. And because sin has been taken away, throughout the Bible, the what held man down, what caused man their problem, what prevented them from getting the blessings from God, was a three-letter word called sin. From the beginning to the end, it's been sin that's caused our problems. But folks, we are not held by sin anymore. I'm going to close in a minute. But God has lifted us up. Can I preach it like this for a few more minutes of time? The Bible says, people say, well, Satan has got, he's bigger than I am, and he's able to walk all over me. The Bible says that Satan was cast down. He is a serpent, is what one of those references. Anything that the Bible says about the devil means that he is below today. Anything that's below you can't walk on top of you, but you can walk on top of it, and praise God, we can get past sin and walk on into the glory land. Can you imagine this tonight? And I'm going to close. Rob and Sharon, you get us a song tonight. But can you imagine this? One day we're going to take our last steps on sin in this life, and we're going to step onto the streets of glory where there is no sin. Praise God, he not only took care of it here, but he prepared a place where he says that sin cannot enter in at the door. That's a thought, is it not? He came to take care of sin, because it was sin that was the adversary. It wasn't the serpent. It wasn't the fruit of the tree. It wasn't even the transgression of the law. But it was sin that caused the problem. From the beginning of time, it has been sin. Even when the devil thought that he would revolt against God and be able to throw him out and take over his throne, it was sin, because he thought he was an equal to God himself. Only to find out that he and the third of the angels in heaven got cast down. Oh, isn't that wonderful? They got cast down. They are below us today. You know what God did in the second Adam? He made a man. The first Adam fell because of sin. But the second Adam, go with me, church, for a few minutes. The second Adam was made in the likeness of man, just like Adam was. But the second Adam knew no sin, did not commit any sins. He was the precious Lamb of God that came to pay the debt that all of humanity owed. He did not owe it, but he paid the debt so that you and I today could rise above sin. Amen? We need to rise above sin and say, devil, I am not bound by your circumstances. I am not bound to you because I used to serve you. You used to be my master. But praise God, I've got a brand new master. I don't serve you, but I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I serve the God who said, I'll send my son and he will defeat sin. And devil, guess what? He defeated you. He's already got the victory. Hallelujah. For those that are waiting for Armageddon to come and the battle be won, I've got news for you tonight on a Wednesday night in a Baptist church. He's already come riding on the white horse. He already got the victory and he went back to the Father who sent him. The next time he comes, he's not coming on a white horse tonight. Let me tell you that. The Bible says he came once, he defeated sin. The next time he comes, he's coming riding on a cloud of glory and take us out of this world of sin and home to be with him tonight. And you can go with us while we stand and sing a verse of a song. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go to a place where there is no sin? You think about all the problems you've had. You think about all the problems that surround your family and friends. You think about all the problems that surround our country and this world. And it's all summed up in three little letters. S-I-N. That's what it is. Sin is what's destroying you. Sin is what's taking you to hell and destruction. It's not your beliefs. It's not your doctrine. It's not what somebody else did or did not do. It's what you have not believed upon and confessed in your heart. Because if you believed and you confessed it with your mouth, the Bible says in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, you shall be saved. If you'll just believe it. Why they sing another verse of a song? Let me find a scripture here real fast for you tonight. Then the Bible tells us that, listen at this, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This was a great commission that Jesus gave to his apostles as he was getting ready to ascend back to the Father. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. People say, I don't like that kind of preaching. It's too stern. It's too strict. No, it's the truth on the Word of God. If you believe, sin has no dominion over you. But if you don't believe, you are the servant of your master. And your master will take you to hell and destruction. He's taken our loved ones down by the groves. Jimmy Swaggart used to say that the devil was taking them to hell by the handbasket. I believe he's taking them today by the jugs full. It's not just a handbasket anymore. But some of y'all remember those big old galvanized tubs that they used to have. He's taking them by the groves down to hell and destruction. And rejoicing all the while, knowing that they have believed the lie instead of the truth. It's sin. You can't blame nobody else. Nobody else. It's sin. The real reason why Jesus came was to defeat sin. And that's what he did. When he came, they thought that they had defeated him because they took his life and they laid him in a borrowed tomb. But you remember, they told the guards, they told Pilate, they told him this. They said, you remember that the deceiver told us while he was still amongst us that in 3 days he would rise again. Yeah. Let's put extra guards there just in case some of his followers come and steal him away. And the second story is worse than what we've already done, because they'll believe that even more than us taking his life. But you see, while they had the guards there, his body was in that tomb, but he was off in the prison preaching to those that were held up in paradise. You know what he was doing? If you'll just allow me a few minutes of time. You know what he went and did? He had to go back, Billy, to the patriarchs of old and said, fellas and ladies, because you believed that I was coming, I'm now here. I'm here amongst you, and I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And because you died in faith, believing that I was to come. And every time I think about this verse, I almost have one of those Holy Ghost fits. Because the Bible said Abraham saw his day and he rejoiced in it. Abraham did not see Jesus, but he saw the day that Christ would come. You know what? I believe when Christ went back to the paradise there in the prisons and he began to teach and preach unto them, I believe there was some shouting that took place when they heard the keys coming down the corridor. Because they knew that this was the one who said he would come and defeat sin. And sure enough, they was dead and buried. But here he came, walking in the midst of paradise. Got all those that died faith believing. And the Bible says when Jesus got up on the third and appointed day, that many of the saints that slept got up with him. And they made that journey back to the Father. Folks, you and I may not have been in the first resurrection, but the Bible says and teaches us that we are part of the first fruits. Because Jesus lives, you and I are going to have a journey that's going to take place in just a little while. While the world is mourning and crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them, to hide their face from his appearing, there will be a few people. The Bible says there will be a select number. There'll be a group. There'll be a remnant, if I could put it like the scripture says. There'll be a remnant that'll still be watching for him to come in the eastern skies. Whether I'm alive or sleep on that day, it doesn't matter. When he comes, I'm getting up. Amen. And I'm going to take a flight toward heaven. Yeah. And tonight, you that are lost, we want you to go with us. We don't want you to die and stay here because of sin. You say, well, Roger, you don't know what we've done. Folks, you heard Pam testify, and I'm not picking on you. You've heard Brother Holcomb testify. I've asked, you've seen many of us raise our hands when I've asked how many of us had sin in our life that we're ashamed of. Yeah. Amen? And people say, well, all those people had all that and God still saved them. We all had sin. But the moment that we pronounced that we believed upon Jesus Christ, you know what rang out through the corridors of heaven when we believe? That's why he went. That's why he went. So a boy, a girl, a mom and dad, or a grandma and grandpa could walk down an aisle, confess their sins and ask for forgiveness, and Jesus would save them from their sin. One more verse, Sharon, if you would. One more verse, and I close with this. That where he is, you may be able also to go. To all those that left here are believing. They're all waiting for us to come. In just a little while, we're going to join them. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I know this. Time is drawing nigh. The sun is going down. And it's about time for the S-O-N to come in the clouds of glory. Amen and amen. It's not because of what you've done. It's because of your unbelief that's going to take you to hell and destruction. You say, well, God wouldn't do that to me. And you're right. God has never sent the first one there. Other than the devil and his angels. Everyone else that's there, and there's a bunch of them. You say, how do you know that? The writer said that hell has enlarged her boundaries. There's a bunch of them there. Everyone that's there has gone over the blood of Jesus Christ, denied him, and stayed in their sin. And folks, listen to me real careful. I know we're Baptist. And I know we get a reputation for being strict and stern. But I promise you, it's not alcohol that's taking our people to hell. It's not even drugs that's taking our people to hell. And I've got some family members that are on that stuff strong. It's not even the gambling that's taking them. It's not even the whoremongers. And if that offends you, it's the Word of God. It's not the adulterers or the fornication that's taking our people to hell. It's sin. The sin of unbelief. And people say, you mean all that other stuff is right to do it? No. When God cleans you up, He cleans you up. Amen. Amen. He said, don't be like the Pharisees, clean the outside of the bowl when the inside of it's dirty. He said, but clean the inside and He'll take care of the outside. Amen. Aren't you glad that God took care of sin? Sin. Just a little three-letter word. I pray God let me preach on sin some more. Because we need it. People are full of all different types of concepts and beliefs and doctrines because of what they're hearing taught on the airways. Folks, it's not all that stuff. And don't get me wrong. There's a lot of stuff on the airways that's good, but most of it is telling you that you are as a God yourself. They won't come right out and tell you that, but their doctrine is preaching that. You know what's right and wrong. You don't have to worry about what anybody else says. It's pluralism. And it's in our country strong. And humanism. That where you're as a God yourself. Folks, if I'm a God, I'm in deep trouble. Because the devil will tell you nothing's wrong. And the Bible says that there's a standard set that we have to live to. And I'll close with this. If the Bible said it was wrong for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, guess what? It's still wrong for us today. Amen. Still wrong. Amen. I hope you've enjoyed yourself in the house of God tonight. If you didn't, something is wrong. Because the Lord has been with us, and I thank Him for it. I thank Him for it tonight. God bless you. Remember these that need our prayers. Go ahead.